client loved the logo. On the presentation screen, it looked confident, polished, almost expensive. 2 days later, they sent me a screenshot from their phone and asked, "Why does it look like a postage stamp?" That was not a color problem. It was a structure problem.
Ouch. And familiar.
Exactly. The gradient was gorgeous, the texture was doing its little victory dance, every detail looked purposeful. Then the design had to work at the size people actually use it, and suddenly the name, the shape, and the point of the mark were fighting for oxygen.
So today we are going to look at the part of design that nobody puts in the portfolio, the quiet, slightly awkward stage before everything gets beautiful.
We call it the quiet prototype method. It is a temporary diagnostic stage. You lower the volume on color, effects, texture, and polish so you can hear the idea underneath. Not forever. Not because simplicity is morally superior. Just long enough to find out whether the visual can carry its own message.
Welcome, dreamers, doodlers, and design disruptors to the Tools of the Imagination, the podcast where we crack open the sketchbook of creativity and reveal the brushes, pixels, and bold ideas that turn visions into victories. I'm Michael Wallace, founder of MG Wallace Design Studios, and your guide through the wild world of visual storytelling with your co-host, Wendy.
And I am Wendy, happy to be here with a pencil nearby and a strong opinion about unnecessary borders.
We are also joined by Anthony, who knows what happens when a design leaves the perfect screen and meets a storefront, a printer, a vehicle, a deadline, or a customer standing 60 feet away.
That is a very polite way to say I bring bad news from the real world.
Useful news.
Usually useful. Occasionally delivered after somebody has already approved the giant sign.
That is the problem we want to prevent. We will ask three connected questions. What is the visual trying to say? Where does the eye go first? And what survives when the audience is moving quickly or viewing the design small? We will use a pencil, grayscale, silhouettes, realistic sizes, and one fictional neighborhood business that has too many good ideas at once.
Too many good ideas is a very real design emergency.
It is, because when every element is interesting, nothing is necessarily important. Color can create mood. Texture can create richness. A photograph can create emotion. A glow can make a button feel inviting. None of those things are the enemy. The trouble begins when they are doing the communicating that shape, scale, and hierarchy were supposed to do.
Right. The decoration is carrying the groceries, and the structure is just walking beside it.
That is exactly it. A quiet prototype lets us set the groceries down and see whether the structure can stand.
I use a similar exercise in drawing workshops. I ask people to remove their favorite detail. There is always a tiny gasp.
The favorite detail is often where the designer has invested the most affection.
And sometimes it is the detail hiding the real problem. Remove the little flourish, and you discover the headline has nowhere to land.
Let me push this further. The four checks are message, shape, hierarchy, and distance. Message asks, what should someone understand or do? Shape asks, what survives as a silhouette? Hierarchy asks, where does the eye begin? Distance asks, what remains when the design is small, fast, far away, or partially ignored?
I am going to push back before we turn those four words into a design commandment. Designers could hear this and decide that color is suspicious, detail is suspicious, and every rich illustration needs to be stripped down.
No, I agree with the pushback. The goal is not simplicity. The goal is clarity.
Good. Because a children's campaign illustration may need a whole world in it. A handmade bakery may need warmth and texture. Removing all of that could make the work technically clear and emotionally empty.
And the prototype can reveal that too. It can show us the message is clear, but the personality disappeared. Then we restore personality deliberately. We do not just pour every ornament back into the file because the blank space makes us nervous.
That distinction matters in production. I have seen a design look elegant in a large digital mock-up, then fail at 20 feet because the identity depended on two thin lines and a subtle shift in gray. In bright sun, those lines merge. At night, the low contrast type disappears. The customer does not see your intent. They see a smudge.
Wait, 20 feet is enough to expose that?
Sometimes less. A person walking past a sign gives you a few seconds. A driver may give you less. Material, lighting, weather, viewing angle, those are all part of the design brief, whether the brief mentions them or not.
So the quiet prototype is not just a designer sitting alone and squinting at a laptop.
No, it is also walking backward from the sign, shrinking the file, printing a rough sample, and asking whether the important parts still have enough weight.
Here is the first practical pass. Give yourself 30 seconds in a pencil. Draw only the dominant shape, the main text block, and the direction of movement. Three versions, even if the first one feels brilliant.
Especially if the first one feels brilliant.
Yes, because attachment makes us stop exploring. Three rough versions are not three polished options. They are three different decisions. One might lead with the name. One might lead with the image. One might create a strong directional shape. You are asking which idea deserves the next hour, not trying to finish the project in half a minute.
Then block it in with light, middle, and dark. Pencil pressure works. Gray markers work. Three shades of sticky note work. The tool is not the point.
Right. The point is to stop being hypnotized by surface detail. Squint until the tiny marks disappear. If the whole design becomes one gray cloud, do not panic. You have just found a hierarchy problem before it became a finishing problem.
Gray cloud is the phrase. Every workshop has one.
Now try the silhouette. Fill the design as one solid shape. For a logo, does the contour have character? For an illustration, does the pose still communicate? For a social graphic, do the headline and image still have separate jobs?
For a sign, ask whether that solid shape could be cut, painted, printed, or illuminated without turning into a puzzle.
And then the test designers often avoid because it is so honest. Put the design where the audience will actually meet it. Phone icon, menu card, sidewalk sign, web banner, storefront, not just the giant artboard.
The design file is a luxury hotel. The audience may be seeing a bus stop.
Beautifully put. The real question is not, does this work at its best size? It is, what survives at its normal size? If you are able to do this safely, take a minute with a design in front of you. Do not make changes yet. Just observe.
Picture the design in grayscale. Shrink it until it is about the size of a postage stamp. Take 3 seconds. What do you notice first?
Do not explain it to yourself. Just notice.
What comes second? What vanishes? Maybe the name disappears. Maybe the face becomes a blob. Maybe the call to action is still clear, which is good evidence. Now ask what single signal must remain. A name, an arrow, a face, a leaf, a promise, a direction.
That is the useful shift. Not what can I add, what must remain.
Exactly. And once you have a prototype, get another person involved. Do not ask, do you like it? Like is a large, slippery bucket. Ask, what did you notice first? What do you think this is for? What would you do next? Then stay quiet.
The staying quiet is the advanced technique.
It is. Designers are very talented explainers. We can rescue a confused visual with a 3-minute tour of every clever choice. The audience will not receive that tour.
And client reviews become less personal. You are not asking whether the design deserves approval. You are watching where the message travels and where it gets lost.
Let us put that under pressure with Cedar Street Market, a fictional neighborhood business planning a storefront sign, a weekend social graphic, and a loyalty card. Their first concept has a detailed illustrated storefront, 3 script typefaces, a bright gradient, fruit icons, and a hand-drawn border.
I already like the fruit icons.
I know you do.
I would keep them, but I would...
make them earn their place?
Exactly. One fruit shape might become a recognition cue. 12 fruit shapes become visual traffic. But I am not sure I would reduce the illustrated storefront as far as a plain word mark. The neighborhood character matters.
I disagree a little. If the sign has to be read quickly, the storefront illustration may be the thing that makes it memorable. I would simplify the lettering first, not the drawing.
At what distance?
Across the street, probably.
Across the street is not one distance. Is it 20 feet? 60? Is a car moving? Is the sign backlit? If the storefront illustration has 8 tiny windows and a striped awning, those details may disappear before the word mark does. I would make a rough sign at the actual proportions and test both directions.
Fair. I was defending the feeling before checking the viewing conditions.
And that is a useful disagreement. The prototype is not there to reward whichever person has the strongest taste. It gives us a way to test both instincts. One version can lead with the name and use a simplified storefront shape. Another can lead with the building and make the name heavier. Then we check what people actually recognize.
I would also print the two versions cheaply, not at final quality, just enough to see whether the thin type holds, whether the dark shape has enough contrast, and whether the production method can reproduce the important edges.
That is the part people skip, because it feels too ordinary. A rough print can reveal more than another hour of screen polishing.
Especially when the screen is flattering the design.
Now take Cedar Street's social graphic. Version 1 uses a beautiful produce photograph, event details scattered in the corners, and thin white type over the brightest part of the image. Version 2 uses one dark shape behind the headline, one supporting illustration, and a clear line naming the event and date.
Version 2 sounds less glamorous in the design file.
But more generous to the person scrolling. They are not grading the effort behind the image. They are deciding whether the information is relevant before the next thumb movement.
This is also where artificial intelligence can become either a useful sketch partner or a very fast distraction. It can give you 20 polished directions. Great. Reduce them. Test the message. Compare the silhouettes. Ask what people understood. The most detailed option is not automatically the strongest option.
More options can create the illusion of progress. A quiet prototype gives you a filter. It helps you decide which options deserve more time.
Can we role play the client review? Because that is where good testing often gets translated into terrible language.
Absolutely. I will be the client. I look at the simplified sign and say, it feels empty. Can you add more color and make the fruit pop?
I hear that you want more warmth. Before we add color, can we look at what the test showed? People recognize the market name, but they missed the weekend event. So we strengthen the event line first. Now we can use color to make that same decision feel welcoming.
That is much better than saying, we removed the fun.
Never tell a client you removed the fun.
And never say, the printer made it muddy, when the prototype already showed that the contrast was too weak.
Evidence saves everyone from dramatic explanations. Instead of make it pop, we can say, people noticed the illustration but missed the date. That leads to decisions. Enlarge the date, reduce competing contrast, simplify the image, or change the reading order.
And if 3 people miss the same message, I do not need a 4th person to tell me whether they like the blue.
Preference has a place. Brand personality matters. Emotional response matters. But comprehension comes first when the design has a job to do. Once the structure is working, color and finishing stop being rescuers and become amplifiers.
I would save every stage too. Thumbnail, grayscale block-in, silhouette, size test, and final direction. When somebody asks why the design changed, you can show the reasoning instead of reconstructing it from memory.
That record also helps business owners and marketers. You can see whether a change improved recognition, reduced confusion, or made the next action easier. We should be careful not to promise a specific conversion result from a grayscale sketch, but we can make the decision process more observable.
That is important. A prototype is evidence about communication, not a magic sales forecast.
Exactly. You stop prototyping when the message is understandable. The main shape has character. The hierarchy is intentional, and the design survives its real-world size. Then bring back the color. Bring back the texture. Bring back the personality. Just make sure those elements support the signal instead of speaking over it.
Useful simplicity removes obstacles. Unfinished work simply has not made enough decisions yet.
That is the distinction. A quiet prototype can look bare because it is testing the bones. The finished work can be rich, expressive, and full of atmosphere. The test just asks whether the bones are strong enough to carry the costume.
And whether the costume still works in weather.
There is the production version of the metaphor.
For your own test, choose one visual this week. A logo, sign, social post, label, flyer, or campaign illustration. Make 3 30-second pencil versions. Reduce one to light, middle, and dark. Try the silhouette. Shrink it to the size where people will really see it.
Then show it to one person and ask 3 questions. What did you notice first? What do you think this is for? What would you do next? Write down the answers before you explain anything.
The pause protects the honesty of the test.
Afterward, compare the rough version with the refined one. What became clearer? What did you decide not to add? What did the outside observer notice that you had stopped seeing? Those notes build judgment. You are not just collecting effects. You are learning where visual effort actually helps.
And if the design will be printed or installed, test that condition early. A cheap proof can save an expensive correction.
For a one-page worksheet and supporting templates, register at mgwstudios.com/submit. It is a simple resource from MG Wallace Design Studios to help you record the message, shape, hierarchy, distance, and feedback for your next project.
Keep the rough version too. It is proof that a clear idea does not have to arrive fully polished.
And that's a wrap on today's dive into the tools that turn sketches into success stories. Remember, whether it's a logo that lingers in minds or an illustration that hooks hearts, your imagination is the ultimate canvas. So pick up that brush and paint boldly.
Thanks for joining us at the Tools of the Imagination from MG Wallace Design Studios. If this sparked something in you, subscribe, leave a review, and share the episode with a fellow creator who needs a creative boost. Until next time, keep designing, keep dreaming, and keep imagining what's next. I'm Michael. See you in the sketchbook.
Imagine boldly. Design brilliantly. Connect creatively.